John chapter 13, verse 31. When Judas was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." This is the word of the Lord.
You might want to keep the Bibles open at that passage, although I am only focusing on the last two verses this morning. The book, The Miracle on the River Kwai, was the autobiography of Captain Ernest Gordon. He was held prisoner during the Second World War, building a notorious railway in Burma. He recounts the events of an amazing sacrificial act. One day, after a day's hard labour, the prisoners were lined up and their captives started shouting at them. During a tool check, it had been found that a shovel had gone missing. The guards demanded that the return of that shovel, or they would kill each man one by one. A soldier stepped forward and confessed that he had taken the shovel. He was beaten to death in front of the other prisoners. Later that evening, a second tool check was carried out, and there was no missing shovel. It had simply been a case of miscounting. The soldier, an innocent man, had given his life to save others. Who would you give your life for? That's a bold question right at the start of this sermon, isn't it? But just take a moment. When you think of all the people you know, those that you love and care for most, is there anyone you would be prepared to die for? Die so that they may live? It's a really hard question, isn't it? Now think about Jesus. Jesus loved us so much that he willingly went to the cross, to his death, so that we might live. And that's the message of today's Bible reading. It's a really simple but really hard one. Those two verses at the end of the passage. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So as David said, this morning we're continuing our sermon series looking at what it means to follow Jesus. And that's what we're going to explore. How do we follow this command? What does it mean to love one another as Jesus loves us? On first reading, it looks like a really nice, easy passage, doesn't it? It's all about loving one another. It's that just being nice and friendly and a bit fluffy and helping others and that kind of thing. But if you scratch away at the surface, that's not really what it means at all. It's a really challenging sermon in this series, a real challenge for me to write as I fall so far short of what is required of me to follow Jesus. But as we look at this passage, we will see that loving as Jesus loved, it's a real challenge, but one that is worth it. So verse 34 starts with a new command, which focuses on love. Love one another. But how is this different to the other commandments to love one another? In the Old Testament, in Leviticus 19, verse 18, it says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord." And in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." And these are repeated by Jesus in Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 31, where Jesus reminds us to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and also to love your neighbour as yourself. So isn't this so-called new command actually just a repeat of those earlier instructions? Well, no, not really, because if we look at those original commands, they are instructions for us to love the Lord with all our power, all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And in the same way, to love our neighbours. In this passage, Jesus takes it to a whole new level. We are asked to love not in our own power and strength, but to love as Jesus loves, and all that that means. So I'm going to have a look at the ways in which Jesus demonstrated his love for others, which also helps us to think about how we should love if we are to love as Jesus loved. At the start of our passage in John, Jesus shows his love for the disciples by getting up and washing their feet. It was a great act of service. But more than that, it was Jesus setting an example of humility and love. Jesus washed the feet of all the disciples, even Judas, who he knew would betray him. A striking demonstration of Jesus' love for all. This act of foot washing is even more remarkable when we think about who usually carried out this task. Washing people's feet was considered to be a task reserved for the non-Jewish slaves, the lowest of the low in the household. Yet here, Jesus left his place at table during the meal to carry out this act of service and love. Jesus was showing the disciples and us a pattern of how to behave. In verses 12 to 17, it says, "When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. 'Do you understand what I have done for you?' he asked them. 'You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So Jesus was highlighting to the disciples that there was no one better than anyone else. To do something for others in a humble way is a great act of service, even if it is a bit of a grim task like washing someone else's feet. But it reminds us that others around us are far more important than we are. This foot washing wasn't just a symbol of humility and service for the sake of it. It was also a practical service. The disciples' feet would have been dusty and dirty from the roads. They only wore sandals. So Jesus was showing that our love and service needs to be practical too. So whilst Jesus' washing of the disciples' feet was a symbolic action demonstrating the cleansing of sins, it was also a very practical thing, cleaning their feet from the dirt of the roads that they had just been walking. "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." If you remember that as we look forward into our passage, into verse 34, "Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." Jesus' actions of washing their feet would have been fresh in their minds when the disciples heard Jesus speak these words. Here, they had personally experienced Jesus' love for them, his willingness to undertake a pretty grotty task. Although they wouldn't realise it at the time, Jesus showed his love for all by including Judas in the foot washing. A reminder to us that we are called to love and serve all, not just our friends or those people we like. Here, Jesus has given us a clear example of how to love as he loved, by not thinking we are better than others, that we are to help others in practical ways, even if it's not a pleasant experience. And we are to offer this help to everyone, even if that person betrays us. It's quite a challenge, isn't it? So how else did Jesus show his love for the disciples? Well, for me, his greatest example of this is his obedience to God. Obedience to his Father's will, which ultimately meant him going to the cross and dying for our sins that we might be saved. Jesus' obedience started when he left his Father's side to become human, born in a manger, and continued throughout his time on earth serving and teaching about God. and he prepared the disciples for when he would be no longer physically on earth. He did all this knowing he would be betrayed, arrested, tortured, and put to death in the most painful and humiliating way possible. When we know all that, how do we respond when we are called to God's obedience, to be obedient to his will, when we are challenged to love as Jesus loved? Now, the chances are we won't be called to literally die for someone, but there are times when God is calling us to something and we resist because it's difficult or it causes a hardship or we just feel uncomfortable or simply because it's just not convenient for our busy lives. Jesus' obedience to his Father shows his complete love for us. That should encourage us to want to be obedient too, whatever that sacrifice may be. Maybe just to help out in a group in church. It might be something bigger, like being called to work overseas, as many from St. Pat's have been done over the years. But notice another thing. Jesus' instruction to love as he loved is open-ended. There is no end date, no love until such and such happens. It's something we always have to do. Each morning, do we think, today, I will love as Jesus loved. I know I don't, as I rush for the train in the morning to get a seat. Do I look round to see if there's somebody more needy than me? Or simply just to offer a seat, because it might be something nice to do? Well, apart from keeping half an eye open, and it is only half an eye, for ladies with baby on board badges, no, I want to get a seat. It's not really loving as Jesus loved in a very simple way, is it? I know every day I miss so many opportunities to love as Jesus loved by offering practical help to others. But how else do we get it wrong? Well, we need to remember this passage isn't about romantic love. It's about loving as Jesus loved, that caring, serving, humble, sacrificial love, that feeling that makes us want to do things for others, to be selfless rather than selfish, or seeking to help out even before we are asked. Think about when we have arguments or there's an unresolved conflict. Is that showing love for one another? If we hold a grudge or refuse to forgive someone who has wronged or hurt us, is that showing love for one another? If we see a need and turn our back because it's easier that way, we are busy people after all, and there's bound to be someone else who can help out much better than me, is that showing love for one another? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's a great passage in the Bible about love. Verses 4 to 7 remind us that love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonour others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This passage really helps us, but also challenges us as to how we should love, how we should show Christian love in action. If we can live out the love in this Corinthians passage, we are on the way to loving as Jesus loved. But why do we get it wrong so many times? Is it simply a case of we're too busy? If you were here last week, you would hear David King spoke about how we should rest in Jesus, how we fill our lives with the burdens we think are important. If we follow Jesus, our burdens will be light. So maybe it's time to think about what we fill our lives with, and are there things we should give up that would enable us to do things that show we are loving as Jesus loved us? Perhaps we're worried about the cost of loving others in terms of the time we give up, the money, or even the emotional cost. Perhaps we think we should only help people who are friends or our family. But aren't we all part of the same family here at St. Pat's? Does that affect how we feel about helping others? This is such a challenging passage. I don't know about you, but I'm struggling to see how I can ever live up to this challenge. How can I ever love as Jesus loved? Even in the practical, serving sense, never mind so sacrificially. So how do we love as Jesus loved us? Is it possible, or are we doomed to failure? Well, there is hope. Of course there is, but it's not going to be easy. A little further on in John, in chapter 15, verses 9 to 12, it says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." The first step, and for me the key message here, is to remain in Jesus' love. The ESV translation of the Bible has the word abide instead of remain. And abide means accept, act in accordance with, to dwell. So if we are to love as Jesus loves us, we must accept Jesus' commands, act in accordance to his will, that is, live in obedience to him. And that means having a personal relationship with Jesus. That will be characterized by trust, prayer, obedience, and our joy will be complete. And we must also dwell in him, completely immerse ourselves in being a follower of Jesus. As we do this, as we abide in his love, Jesus will become more precious to us. And as we draw closer to him, we will become more like him and his family. Our Christian brothers and sisters will mean more to us, and so we will love them more and want to serve and help them more, and our joy will be complete. And if you look at the end of our passage, verse 34 says, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Jesus is speaking to Christians about their love for other Christians. Yes, we are called to love and serve all, but specifically here, Jesus is saying if we love and serve each other, then everyone else will recognise us as Christians. And that's another challenge, isn't it? How are we with each other? We'll mark out that we're different to those who aren't Christians. One of the things I love about St. Pat's is the love and support it offers, particularly when someone is in need. Meals being prepared and delivered when a new baby arrives or somebody is ill. Offers of lifts, groups that offer support and fellowship. But let us never be complacent. If we see someone in need, let's be the first to offer help. If we see someone struggling, offer a listening ear or to pray with them. Even if that means an inconvenience to us, whether that's our time, our money, our emotions, or it's just something we'd rather not do. As I finish, I want to go back to our story of the soldier who gave his life to save his fellow prisoners. The tragedy had a profound effect on the prisoners in the camp. Word spread like wildfire throughout the camp that an innocent man was willing to die to save others. The event changed the way the prisoners behaved. They ceased their conflicts with one another and began treating each other like brothers, making sacrifices for each other to ensure their survival. The sacrifice even impacted on how the prisoners saw their Japanese captors. When the victorious Allies finally kept swept into camp, the prisoners lined up in front of the soldiers and insisted that they not be killed. They knew in that moment that forgiveness was needed. That's the power of sacrificial love. It's unparalleled. That act of a soldier had such a profound effect on those around him in the prison camp. Jesus' death for us should have an even greater impact on our lives. To love as Jesus loved means loving sacrificially. Whilst we may not have to die for others, we may have to do things that take up our time, our money, our strength. But we need to think about the little things like offering practical help, serving others, being humble, and people will notice and see the love we have for one another. If we study the Bible, pray, and live obediently to Jesus' commands, we will be loving as Jesus loved. And by these actions, people will know that we are Jesus' followers, because there is something different about us to what is comparing us to what's happening in the world. They will see a community that cares for each other and others outside, that helps and supports, that does things without expecting reward or return. Let us pray. Jesus, you showed us how to love and challenge us to love as each other as you have loved us. Help us become more like you in the way we serve and love each other. Help us to love sacrificially with joy in our hearts, for we know as followers of you, we have the perfect role model. Thank you for your ultimate act of sacrificial love, willingly going to the cross to die for our sins, that we may have eternal life. In knowing that, may we willingly and joyfully follow you, loving others as you have loved us. Amen.